Our scripture today is from the book of John, chapter 11, verses 17 through 44, if you want to turn in your Bible to the scripture. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. And when the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping. He was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept, and the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there's a bad odor, for he has been in there 4 days." Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." This is the word of the Lord. Thank you.
You know, that made me think a little while ago of the funny little things that I've seen that have happened around communion. One of them, I didn't actually see, but a friend of mine told me this happened to them. So they went to lift the tray, and there were a bunch of empty cups. And so he said, while our brother goes and prepares the communion elements, we'll be singing four verses of this song. You know, so recovered pretty well. But the funniest one that I saw was when an elder was saying the prayer right before the emblems would be passed. And then his cell phone started to ring, and it played the Tomb of Rocky Top. You know, it just kind of, you just gotta laugh when those things happen. And I think that God made us the way we are, and we're made in His image. So I can just imagine that He can find humor in those kind of things. Well, today we're going to pick up with the death of Lazarus, and we're going to get him out of the grave today. And what I want to do is give you just a little background and some things to think about that I may not have touched on very much last week, but just a little bit of background here. You remember that when Jesus got the message that Lazarus was sick, he waited 2 days, stayed where he was 2 days. And we may find that interesting. Why did he wait? Why wouldn't he go? You know, Lazarus was already dead. And we know this because when he waited 2 days to go there, it was a day's journey to get there, and they found that he had been dead 4 days. So probably right after the messenger left to give the message to him that Lazarus was sick, he died. Now, another reason, you know, so why would he wait the 2 days? Why wouldn't he have just gone and said, okay, he's sick, let's go? Then he'd only been in the tomb 2 days. So I think there's a couple reasons. One, there was this Jewish tradition, and I don't know how anybody could have held to it when the bodies would be immediately put into a tomb, into a cave or whatever, wrapped, sealed, perfumed. But there were some in Jewish traditions who believed that your spirit could still be hovering around your body for a couple days. But after a couple days, okay, you're gone. And I don't know where anybody came up with that. So maybe he was getting past the superstition that some would hold. But then also, I think that it was an event that was going to give what Marie talked about for Advent, hope. Because the disciples and the people that followed Jesus, all of them were going to see there was a man who had died who rose again 4 days later. Jesus said that when he would die, which wasn't going to be too long after this event, he would die and he would arise on the third day. So they would be able to reflect back on this and say, huh, he did raise someone 4 days later. Because then they could have been questioning the things, well, what's it going to be like 3 days later after his body is decomposed and all this stuff that's going on? And they've already experienced this with Lazarus. So I think in a very real way, waiting like he did, it was to strengthen their faith. for what was coming ahead. So as he goes back to Bethany, where Mary and Martha were, and where Lazarus was put in a cave, he's approached first of all by Martha, because we read here in the scripture that, so when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. I think Jesus already knew that. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles, and many of the Jews who had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." See, I look at Martha as logical. Martha doesn't seem emotional here. We don't read anything here about Jesus being moved by Martha's approach. She just says, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died." And Jesus said, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha said, "I know he's going to rise again in the resurrection at the last day." See, Martha had really good theology. Martha believed in God. Martha believed that Jesus was the Son of God. She believed that he was the one who was the giver of life, that she believed her brother would be raised in the last day like all believers would. And so she says, "Yes, I know that in the last day." And Jesus then said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" And she says, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." So good theology. They're having this good discussion. But she felt inside, if Jesus hadn't left, her brother would be alive. Now, if you remember, Jesus left because the Jews were seeking to kill him. And so, okay, it's time to exit stage right. You know, let's get out of here for a little while. And she says, basically, you shouldn't have gone. See, this is our frustration sometimes, because we want God to do things our way in our time. And she says, you shouldn't have gone. Now, what happened when he did go? There were many of John's disciples who saw Jesus, who heard what Jesus was saying, and it connected with what John was telling them, John the Baptist was telling them was going to happen. And they followed Jesus. They believed in him. But then you got Martha saying, you shouldn't have gone. But he should have gone. So that's how she was feeling. She was thinking logically. But then there's the other sister, Mary. And we read on, "And when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, 'The teacher has come and is calling for you.' As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him." Now Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house, comforting her, When they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, she's going to the tomb to weep there. Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. She fell down at his feet. She was weeping. She said the same thing. Now I see Martha is more logical in the way that she's approaching things, and Mary is emotional. Have you ever noticed that in families we are different? You know, there's just different traits that we have. And we see this with Mary and Martha. But notice something here. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping. By the way, some of the Jews that came with her weeping were professional weepers. Did you know they had that thing? It was a thing back then. We're going to have some professionals come and we're going to cry with you, because if we cry, then it's going to help you cry, and that's supposed to make everything all better, you know. Maybe you've been at some funerals. And I remember when I was preaching my granddad's funeral, and I totally could do this. But I told my mom and my aunts, you all can't cry when I'm doing this. Or it would just, then we'd all be crying. Probably the only time I ever told them, you can't cry. You can cry anytime, just not when I'm speaking. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he felt something. He groaned in his spirit and he was troubled. So he's feeling something here. And he says, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Then, the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. Now, the original manuscripts didn't have all the punctuation, but those who have studied the early church fathers and other textual critics as they went through this, saw these words significant to stand on their own as the sentence, Jesus wept. Now the word for wept is different than the weeping that Mary was crying. Jesus wept. It was like a groaning, a loud, it could even be a shout of emotion. And then the Jews said, see how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? Fair question. Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Now, Martha, the logical, she's smart. She says, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. Now, I don't know if you've ever studied about how the body decomposes. But as they say, it ain't pretty. You know, we do this thing of embalming that helps to preserve, you know, in time to get them buried. But the Jews, they didn't do any embalming. You know, and so they would bury people in the same day. You know, they would wrap their body, they would put spices on them, and that was to give them a little bit of time because the body starts to decompose in the matter of a few hours. And then the process that it goes through, you know, she knew what she was talking about. Normally, there would be a very bad odor. But he said, take away the stone. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you heard me. Now I just wonder if Jesus was asking the Father to raise him from the dead. I just wonder if maybe Jesus wasn't just seeing it, but was asking the Father, and he says, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. And I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said that they may believe that you sent me. Now when he had said those things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Now I think it's a couple things are very significant here. First of all, I think it's a good thing that he said, Lazarus, come forth. You know, if there's other people buried in caves, it's like, come forth. You got a bunch of people, hey, let me out of here. So anyhow, Lazarus, he comes forth. Now get this, picture this. He who died came out bound, hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. I mean, he can't just walk out. He's bound. And so he comes forth. Now, you know, the kind of bummer of a thing for Lazarus is he's got to die again. You know, you ever think about that? Jesus raised him from the dead. He's kind of like hanging around, you know, in the heaven thing, you know, and just like, hey, what? You got to go back. But then, you know, if anybody says, what's death like? You go, no big deal. Been there, done that, you know. So Lazarus was brought back to life. And he who died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen the things Jesus did believed in him. What I think is so significant about the raising of Lazarus, Jesus had raised other people from the dead. There's two that we have recorded in the scripture. There was the widow of Nain, her son, and so he was being taken to the cave where he would be entombed the very day he died. Jairus' daughter, a leader in the synagogue, who came to Jesus and pleaded with him to come to his house. His daughter was very sick. And so Jesus is going with Jairus. And can you imagine? Jairus is like wanting to hurry. And then someone stops Jesus to touch his garment. And then Jesus starts to talk to her. And Jairus is probably like, come on, we got to get going. That's how we feel. And so they just about get there. And a servant comes and says, your daughter has died. And Jesus goes and he says he's going to raise her. Everyone started laughing at him. The Jews that were there laughing at him. But then, when she came back to life, they believed. Now, skeptics could possibly say of those two, not that I believe that, skeptics might say, oh, well, they weren't really dead. You can't say that about somebody 4 days. There ain't no, maybe they weren't really dead thing. I mean, this guy was wrapped up and he'd probably die from all the perfume that was on him and then have it all wrapped around him and be in that cave that was sealed so tightly that, you know, I mean, it had to be kind of airtight as much as they could. If he wasn't dead when he's buried, he was dead by the time he came out. So nobody could say that about this. And maybe that's why Jesus wanted to illustrate this further by it being 4 days. Because all the disciples had ever seen was those who were raised to life immediately. Now there's a couple things that I think are takeaways for us. We want, like Mary and Martha, for God to do things our way. We want God to do things in our time. But the one thing that we have all learned is God does things His way. And in His time. And sometimes we even get on the other side of it and we go, well, in that situation, I'm glad God did things His way and in His time. But when we're going through it, it's hard to grasp it. We'll be like Jairus. Come on, come on. We got to get you there. Come on. We've all probably been there. Hope. Jesus gave them hope. He gives us hope. Because the very thing that Martha said, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, that you raise us from the dead. That's the hope and the promise that we get for having Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Our hymn of invitation is because He lives. It's not because Lazarus lives, but it's because Jesus lives. That we can face tomorrow, that all fear is gone, that we can put our trust in Him. Let's all stand as we sing. God send you. What a great line. Life is worth the living just because he lives. Let's dismiss. Lord, we thank you for your presence in our lives. You show up when we need you. Actually, you're already there. As we have learned in looking at these scriptures, sometimes things don't work on our time and they don't work our way, but ultimately they work for your glory, and that's what we want. So we just ask your blessings in each of our lives and use us for your glory. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.